as well. So give her a round of applause as she comes up and speaks.
Thank you. They always save the best till last, so get excited. So my message today is titled, "And If Not?" So this is a question that I've asked probably 100 times. Your assignment must be in by 4:30 today. And if not? You have to pay that parking ticket. And if not? And one of my personal favorites as a kid, your room needs to be clean before supper. And if not? These are always answered with something that usually wasn't very nice. It usually meant, well, you don't get supper, or you don't get to hang out with friends. It was never really a good answer to an if not question. Whenever I asked, and if not, I didn't like what followed. And after all this, it kind of makes sense why now I don't like when I hear the same kind of questioning from God. But to change my attitude towards this, let's all turn to Daniel 3, or Google Daniel 3, I guess. So Daniel 3 is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's one of my favorite stories that I ever heard as a kid. But when I was in grade 4, there was a boy in my class named Meshach, and his best friend's name was Ben. And in my little Christian head, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Meshach and Abednego. How fun is that? So thinking I was the funniest kid to ever walk the face of the earth, I went up to them and I was like, where's Shadrach? And not Christian kids, they looked at me and they're like, what? And I was like, so sad because I thought it was so funny. And here I'm getting these blank stares. But thanks to that moment, I've never forgotten the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, starting at verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image that he had. King Nebuchadnezzar had set it up, and they all stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing fire." So, now jumping to verse 9. The provincial officials said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship this image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you need to fall down and worship it, and if you do not, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." The story continues on as Nebuchadnezzar ties these three men up and throws them into the furnace. But while they're in the furnace, the king looks in and sees four men walking around inside, untied and completely unfazed by the fire. When he brings the three men out, there was not a single hair on their head that was singed, and there was no smell of fire on them. This is an amazing act of God and his goodness, but this isn't the part that I want to focus on. I want to focus on verse 18. So verse 18 is, "But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." As far as "and if not," this is probably one of the biggest ones that you could ever be faced with. They are told, you'll get killed if you do not do this. And yet they don't even flinch. I've been asked this question hundreds of times, and I've never been willing to lose my life over it. And if I'm being honest, I don't know what I would do if I was in the same situation. Do I really have the trust and faith in God to say, no matter what, I'll put him first, even if I'm faced with a burning furnace? The idea of dying for a faith seems so distant for us in Canada, but that doesn't mean that we don't have moments when life feels just as difficult. John 16:33 says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace, but in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Bad situations in life are a God-given guarantee. This verse says it. No matter how hard you try, you can't escape these hardships. And while we may be worried about being thrown into a burning furnace, there are tons of other issues that we can have. And how often do you put these situations totally into God's hands? Our prayers so easily become a list of our wants and our requests. We tell God that we need that pay raise. We need him to keep our teenager away from the bad crowd. And we need him to fix our marriage. But if you're completely honest with yourself, what do you do when the answer is no? What do you do when your kid takes the wrong path and falls away from God? What do you do when you can't make ends meet at the end of the month? These are the moments when it's the hardest to trust God and to truly believe in his providence. But looking into these situations, it seems impossible that a God who is good are letting these happen. When I look at the hardest times in my life, and I couldn't understand why God would let this happen. And as I prayed and prayed and he didn't change the situation, I found myself wondering, where's the goodness of God? But looking back on it now, these were the times where God sent people into my life to encourage me. And I'd get those texts saying, hey, thinking of you today, praying for you, have a good day. I don't have all the answers, but what I do know is that I want the kind of faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. I want to be able to pray that God will completely change a bad situation, but I also want the faith to say, even if not, God's still good. The reality is, our bad situation doesn't change God. It doesn't. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change anything about his nature or his goodness. We allow ourselves to place the blame on God for the fallen nature of the people around us. There is no situation that is greater than God, and when times become hard and we can't see that, we can look in Isaiah 54:10. The verse says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. How amazing is that? God is saying, I don't care what mountains shake, I don't care what comes crumbling to the ground, my love is unshakable and unfailing. It isn't a quick fix or a magic verse that you read and all of a sudden everything's better, but I promise you that he is unshakable. So I challenge you to change your attitude towards your unfulfilled prayers. When you prayed for God to heal your marriage but it still fell apart, he's still good. When you prayed for a healing for someone and it didn't come, God is still good. Even if every single thing goes wrong and you don't know where to turn, God is still good in those moments. So I challenge you that the next time you hear, and if not, you remember that that doesn't change that God is still good.
I'm slow getting up here because I was finishing my notes. And I'm only being serious. Some great, great things said to us this morning by all three of these awesome young people. And there could have been many others up here this morning, and we'll have other opportunities to hear. I was thinking of Paul's instruction to Timothy. Is it 1st or 2nd Timothy? I can't remember. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example. And he goes on to list some things specifically. And many of you, students, young people, young adults in this church family, are an example to us. Thank you for that. You're a valuable part of this church family. Hey, hey old folks. Hey, 30-somethings, right? Calling you old relative to them. That feels kind of good. That's rich. And particularly the topic focuses of Brent's message and Jaden's message is just a great setup for where we're going the next couple of weeks in this topic, this challenging topic of what the Bible says about suffering. Some great truth shared today. I might have to quote you guys next Sunday. Maybe there's some things in your life, just as Jaden has shared, where you've asked those questions. What's going on, God? What's going on? God wants, and we sung about it. It's no accident that some of the music today, I think it was the first and the fourth songs that Tanya, as I know our worship leaders do, prayerfully select the songs for Sunday morning. It's no accident that those songs were chosen on theme, going through the tough stuff, when the oceans rise and the waves are big, and God's love is there. He wants to remind us of that this morning. His character. I love how you said that, Jaden. And I don't know, my notes are down there, but just God's character hasn't changed, even though we're going through the mill, going through the rough time. God's character has not changed. He wants to remind you of that this morning, that he is stable, he is solid, he is a foundation to plant your life on in the good times and the bad times. So just as you remain seated, we're going to close in prayer today. And if there's something you're just knowing that you want to give to God, again, maybe it's the 100th time, doesn't matter. It's about the surrender, the leaning, the trust that in these moments can be built. The choice to walk in trust and faith and confidence in a God who's loving and able to do anything, even though we may not understand this moment and what's going on. Even if not, God can. God, I believe God to deliver me. But even if that deliverance doesn't come, even if not in the way I like, I will faithfully follow you and trust you, Jesus. It's a powerful message, biblical message. If there's something that you want to give to God, I just encourage you to put your hand to God and say, yeah, here it is again, Lord. Let's pray together. Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these stories of the Old Testament that are helpful. Narratives, real people serving a real God in real tough circumstances. Thank you, God, for seeing fit to have those stories recorded for our benefit and our spiritual growth. And our learning of trusting you. Thank you for your word. I pray in Jesus' name for each individual this morning that is saying, God, I don't get it. This is tough. I pray in this moment of quiet, that the powerful love and strong arms of comfort of the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, would be around them, embracing them, and they would feel that, Lord, in their spirit. And they would know the buoyancy of the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit as they choose in these moments to trust you, to surrender to you again, to yield to you, heart, mind, body, soul. In every situation, God, we humbly ask the powerful, mighty, loving will of God be done. In the name of Jesus. And your peace would replace anxiety. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you, God. Thanks for being together today. Don't rush away. If there's someone that you've not met before, go up and tell them that. I've never met you before. I don't know. I don't know if that'll work or not, but find someone you've not met before. Do it. God bless you.